Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Welcome to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. Now, that's not my maiden name's little tidbit. That's a gift from my husband, Leo, who's another kind of cat. I don't even really like cats, but Leo's kind of grown on me over the past 20 years or so. And people tell me that I tend to grow on them.
Yeah, like a fungus.
And I'm here in studio with my friend and soon-to-be-fired co-host, Chef Marcus.
Woo!
His name really isn't Chef. Why do I call him Chef? Well, he's got 20 different paring knives, and he wears a funny hat. He's very manly and very tall, and he has a real face for radio.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
For all you listeners, he looks exactly like the Swedish chef from The Muppet Show. I love that one. While we're on the subject of manliness, there's nothing less manly and less sexy than a grown man with an eating disorder. There's one weird one out there called tasting. Tasting. It's where you chew the food to taste it and then you spit it out. A lot of people do this because they think it's a simple way to enjoy bad foods, quote unquote bad foods, and not gain any weight. It's actually a mechanism of bulimia or anorexia. So you can't gain weight because it never gets swallowed, which is lame.
Yeah.
Lame. Part of the pleasure of eating is the swallowing.
I agree.
The warm buttery toast scratchiness, you know, the hot tomato soup silkiness, the caramel sundae, ooey gooey gooiness.
And you feel a cold going down. And you just
The reason why we drink hot cocoa, the hot cocoa coziness, you know, the swallowing. It's a lot of the feeling that brings us so much joy from eating. And the esophagus is kind of part of the whole body experience of eating something wonderful. So now I'm sure that all you listeners are out there are just fine and really enjoy your favorite foods the right way. But just in case, it's just not cricket to skip such a major part of eating and honestly part of the human privilege, which is really enjoying our food. You take away that part of the experience, you might as well subsist on flavorless protein paper. And, it's not sexy. It's not manly. And the reason I bring that up is because this is a manly show.
Grr.
Yeah. Grr. In all seriousness, folks, if you do have an eating disorder, no matter how mild, value your own health enough to go and get help before you cause serious damage. Like, you know, a taste bud is a terrible thing to waste. It's
love
important.
All of my taste buds.
Any kind of eating disorder, especially that one. I understand how people kind of get into a system in their life or a part in their life and their life and their mind where they get into an eating disorder and it makes sense. But this one is probably, I know it's not the worst. I know it's not the most harmful to your health. I know it's not the one that can, you know, really kill you, but I think it's the stupidest.
Now, I see how people do it. Like, I know chefs who are on diets and so they have to taste their food while working. But they're not going to swallow. They spit it out. But as a lifestyle choice, every day.
As a means of eating foods you like and not gaining weight.
It's just a big tease. No.
And it's not even helping. I'll tell you why. Because you're still making saliva in your mouth when you're chewing these foods. So it stimulates more of an appetite. So it's really no way to satisfy your hunger. You're still digesting the carbs because that happens when the food is in your mouth. Carbs are converted to sugar in your mouth. So it's completely pointless to do this with sugary sweets because you're chewing, you're spitting it out. Fine. You know what? You just took in a whole bunch of carbs that you didn't want to, and you didn't even get to swallow them. So now you've taken in carbs, which have calories, and then you're not even feeling the rewarding passage of food into stomach, which is a total and complete waste of time.
So you're chewing just sweet, yummy foods, and then making yourself more hungry, and then spitting it out, and you're in a worse situation than you were to begin with, because
exactly.
Now you're hungrier.
Yeah.
You have all the bad sugars and none of the fiber because you spit those things out.
And it's ridiculous, and now you're going to have that craving.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're going to crave it more. And I think maybe, and I think scientists are going to discover this, there's a mechanism in the brain that actually when you do swallow something, I think that tells your body that you've actually eaten it. Not chewing it and enjoying it. But I think your body actually knows. Your body is smarter than you are, honestly. Yeah. Physiologically, your body is really a lot smarter than anything you're going to try to outwit it.
Yeah, silly diets that try to convince your body to dump excess pounds, those never work.
The diet soda doesn't work. It promotes metabolic symptom, which is you tend to gain more weight around your belly. Mm. Anyway.
Sexy.
And, you know, I know,
sexy.
And this is a food show. So we're going to talk a lot about food. But you know what? getting the food into your body is also one of the parts of eating it. And people are always trying to think of clever ways to kind of trick their body so that they can enjoy all the foods that they want 24 hours a day and they're not going to suffer any consequences. No, this is a show about food, people who enjoy food, people who love to eat it, not chew it and spit it out, but people who love to eat food. And if you're going to live that way, well, you know, honestly, just turn off the show right now because we love food. We're here to talk about food. We just enjoy it in moderation.
Yes.
There are meals that are not so wonderful. We're going to have a flavorless turkey sandwich for lunch so that we can go out and have a fantastic dinner. We're not going to just eat whatever we want all the time, every day, for every meal. The people who love food the most, they don't do that.
No, no.
No, not at all. And if you're going to have a weird food habit, honestly, at least make it a cool one, like only eating French fries with a knife and fork.
I know someone who will hold a candy bar up to their nose and eat whole wheat bread, trying to make the whole wheat bread taste like the candy bars. That's a weird one.
That's really odd.
That's really
but
odd.
The French fries with a fork and knife thing, you can actually do that in public. Why not chopsticks? Or peeling your grapes. Peeling your grapes. You'll eat them slower.
That's way too much work. I would never,
right,
ever agree.
But,
to that.
I mean, it's a real conversation starter at parties.
That's true.
Yeah. So, one of the things we like to chew and swallow a lot is bacon.
Mm.
One of my favorites. After this brief commercial break coming up, we're going to dive right into some bacon talk, and we'll be recounting some of the more exciting memories of the New Year's Eve party aboard the USS Midway, where Jeff, our brilliant and adorable board operator, made some new friends, danced on the table, and became engaged to a 60-year-old shuffleboard champion.
I have pictures.
Good times. Good times. When we come back on Food Fight Radio.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Eat in, take out, or delivery. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com. Limited delivery area.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
You know that people can hear you when you do that, right?
Oh, yeah. That's why I got close to the mic.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz.
I'm Chef Marcus.
So over the break, Jeff was just over here begging and pleading with me with his little arms wrapped around my legs to ask me to tell you that we were just kidding and that he didn't do any of those things. That's okay, Jeff, because we took pictures.
It's okay, Jeff.
Now, I wouldn't say that I'm bacon-centric. because, you know, excuse me while I sip this nice coffee with bacon flavored creamer.
Bleah.
Or that I'm all bacon partial. Marcus, would you like one of my bacon flavored breath mints?
That's really gross. I'm a bacon fan, but I think the bacon craze is just too much.
And I think maybe the slap fight during the last commercial break is a sign that we have a difference of opinion.
Just a little bit, yeah.
I say bacon is the new black.
I say bacon is the new bleh.
I care to elaborate.
It's just in everything. It's just like the lazy person's way to make something new. Like there's bacon flavored gum now. There's bacon hand lotion. There's bacon soap. I'm just so over bacon being in every product now. It's too much. Why would you need a cinnamon roll with bacon inside? I get it. I enjoy bacon. I like bacon. I eat bacon. I just don't need it on everything. Bacon and chocolate is a horrible mix. They overpower each other. I don't like smoky, salty chocolate. I just think it's a lazy way to reinvent a boring product.
So what you're really saying is, Claire, you're dead wrong. You're dead wrong. Bacon is not the new black.
Bacon is not. Maybe it was last year. I just think it went a little too crazy last year, and hopefully we play with something else. Maybe it'll be sardines this year. I don't know.
Okay, and you're just telling me how you love bacon, but you're tired of it. Do you love sardines?
No.
Okay. Well, then, you know, I don't think we're going to be seeing sardine-laced cinnamon rolls anytime soon.
Sardine perfume. There's bacon perfume. Blah, why?
If you want to smell like a fish, you know, get a job down by the dock fishing. Really. Or do what I did last Christmas, and that's just cook lobsters and other seafood for two straight days. And you are not getting that smell out of your skin for days afterward. I don't think we're done with bacon.
No, I know.
As an ingredient, any more than we're done with sugar.
Okay.
Once we see that something is tasty and flexible and goes so well in so many things, why would we ever discontinue its use? It doesn't mean we're not going to look for new things. We can focus on a lot of tasty ingredients all at the same time. People, chefs particularly, our taste buds, 10,000 different tastes and smells influencing our taste buds. We're really good multitaskers, you know. It's like I haven't heard anyone say, you know, I'm so over water. It's just so used.
Water, we're so used to it. There's no real flavor. And I'm not saying bacon doesn't have its place. I mean, bacon and salads, there's some of them really great. Cobb salad, BLTs, I love BLTs. Bacon cheeseburgers, yes, delicious. Bacon, it's just too much. I lost one.
Bacon on the pizza? BLT on the pizza?
Yeah, I'd try that.
Okay, what about the coffee-flavored, the bacon-flavored coffee creamer?
No.
No? Bacon-flavored coffee? No?
No, I mean, no? I do
well,
like
here,
smoky, dark
here,
coffees.
Some. I have some right here.
No,
try it.
I'm good. No. bacon beer. Bacon-flavored beer. It has a fighting bacon.
I've tried bacon-flavored beer. I actually tried the maple bacon donut flavored
voodoo right?
beer.
Yeah.
That was my,
you got me one.
Yeah, my wonderful niece who worked at BevMo, she got me one.
Oh, nice.
And it comes in a really pretty Pepto-Bismol pink bottle.
Yes.
It's the bottle that you really want. I almost didn't want to open it. I just wanted to kind of put it on a shelf, right on my shelf of decorative foods. I have the can of haggis. Mm-hmm. There, and I have that mustard oil that you gave me that
yeah.
time,
yeah.
And I have some sardine paste also right next to it. It's sort of a decorative shelf of foods that are kind of too cool looking to eat. That's where I wanted to put that beer, but I did drink it. I mean, it is bacon flavored beer. I'm gonna drink it, and I was not impressed.
No, and have you had bacon vodka?
No, not yet. You know why? Yeah. I'll tell you, because maybe it's disgusting, but places are always out of it.
That's because they don't stock it, because they tried it and they're not going to buy
See,
it
no,
anymore.
I thought it was because everyone was going and buying it all up and giving it to their friends as a gag gift.
Well, that might be it too. That might just be it as a gag gift. But yeah, once you try it, it's, yeah, there's limits. There's limits to everything.
See, I think it's just too versatile an ingredient. It's kind of like when people first discovered sugar. I mean, did they play with it for a while and then say, you know, I'm kind of getting tired of sugar. It's everywhere nowadays. Let's go find another go-to ingredient like pickled duck eggs and see what we can do with these. Now, we kept putting it in everything until we found things we probably shouldn't put it in. And then everything kind of leveled out. And now, you know, well, it's still in everything, but I don't hear anyone complaining about it. It's versatile. It's got a lot of different uses, kind of like bacon. Obviously, sugar has a very distinct flavor. If you eat too much of it, it's overpowering.
True.
Bacon has a very distinct flavor. If you eat too much of it, it's overpowering.
Yes.
But it's still as versatile, I think, as sugar. So maybe if bacon is not the new black, maybe bacon is the new sugar.
Okay.
And now, I know that you're kind of over it, but are you at all interested in the bacon salt shaker that I bought for you, or should I just keep that one?
Well, I can't turn down a gift. That's just rude.
Uh-huh. Okay. See, I see how we really are.
But, I mean, bacon is salty, smoky, and umami or proteiny, however you want to play it. So I would love to see good chefs play with those flavors and add them into food as opposed to taking the easy way out and putting bacon in. I think that'd be really great.
Take the flavor of the bacon, figure out how to turn it into an actual seasoning instead of just slapping everything with bacon.
Not like extracting the flavor, but taking what people are drawn to from the bacon and using that into something else. I expect to see, I do see bacon milkshakes and bacon pies, and I expect them to go to fast food restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
But as for a nice restaurant, I don't want you taking the easy way out. That's a art. It's an experience. Don't cheapen it for me. Don't cheapen it by doing what everyone else is doing. It's
Well, what about this? What about this super awesome bacon app that I have that makes a it makes a sizzling sound? There we go.
Is that a picture of a cookie with cheese and bacon on it?
Yes, it is.
That's an oatmeal cookie. That's even grosser.
This is the sound of sizzling cooking bacon, people, live in the KCBQ studio.
It's the sound of boiling water.
No, it's not. It's the sound of bacon.
Sounds like someone using the urinal.
I see a picture of bacon, and I can tell you for sure that these people would not lie to us.
These app people are honest.
They're, app people are always honest. I don't think there's one dishonest app out there in all the 10 million apps.
Oh, the 10.
When we come back from this next commercial break, we're going to talk about some of our favorite foods to enjoy during what's left of this frigid, record cold San Diego winter. It was so cold this morning that I had to wear something that had sleeves.
I actually put on pants this morning as opposed to shorts.
Oh, my goodness. That's just absolutely horrible. So when we come back after this commercial break, we're going to talk about our favorite winter comfort foods. And do we have a difference of opinion on that one?
Well, no. I can't tell you what your favorite one is. That's
one of them's mac and cheese. Keep listening and don't touch that dial after.
You should really put some bacon on that.
When our kids started school, I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried to supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through eighth grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized and
don't forget motivating.
Education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
For over 7 years, Modern Dentistry, the office of Dr. Amir Majavar and his friendly professional team members, have been providing quality and affordable care to San Diegans all over the county. Specializing in state-of-the-art cosmetic and family dentistry, including children ages 3 and up, porcelain crowns, veneers and lumineers, Invisalign, teeth whitening, and metal-free restorations. Rest assured the care you'll receive will be with the utmost precision and quality, and provided in a caring, nurturing, and virtually pain-free environment. Having completed a residency in cosmetic dentistry and over 200 successful Invisalign cases, Dr. Majavar is highly trained to create a beautiful smile just for you. Their office is designed with comfortable chairs, ceiling-mounted TVs, and noise-canceling headphones. Call Modern Dentistry and see what a difference a healthy, beautiful smile can make in your life. Go to sdmoderndentistry.com or call 858-259-4765. 858-259-4765.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. and the winner by a knockout. Knockout Pizza Miramesa.com.
Back to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. So, we're talking about bacon. Right before we get into the winter comfort foods, I was thinking about the genetically modified food, and I know a lot of people have a difference of opinion on this one, but here's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a brave, unstoppable food modifying scientist make bacon-flavored bananas. Bacon-flavored bananas. Yes, I said it on the radio. Bacon-flavored bananas. They would just grow out of the ground that way. At that point, maybe I'd admit that they'd gone a bit too far.
So, when you eat bacon, do you like it crispy, or you wouldn't mind it being soft and
mushy? A little chewy.
But what about mushy?
That I don't know. But I think people have a pretty... then they could eat bacon, yeah, because, you know, bacon-flavored vegetables.
Yes.
It would probably be fine. If that bacon salt doesn't work for you, everything you put it on tastes like bacon. And I wasn't kidding about that. I actually do have a shaker full of bacon salt for you, which is a gift. And so I'm going to be giving that to you. But you can put that on pretty much anything. It makes taste like bacon. It was invented for the military because they miss bacon.
Aww.
Yeah. Isn't that sweet?
Oh, because they're over right now where there's no bacon. No pork.
There's no bacon. You know, and you can tell where the Americans are because, you know, the smell of this and the sound of the sizzling bacon, you know, no matter how well camouflaged your tent is, that's going to be a dead giveaway, right? back to the bananas. They'd have, you know, mutated bananas with pig-like properties that maybe now have developed a taste for us. That would be the beginning of the end, right? That's the beginning of every zombie movie.
I think so. They actually have already started genetically making bacon strips with, what do you call it? Stem cells.
So now stem cells?
Pig stem cells, and they use it to grow bacon.
Is that because the demand for bacon is so high that they can't make enough pigs?
I think, yeah, because there's more, because it's the belly of the pig.
Right.
So there's not enough pig bellies
to
satisfy.
Why don't they just figure out how to turn the rest of the parts of the pig into bacon? Why is that so hard? Why are we using stem cells? We could be curing cancer and AIDS with
that
stuff.
Well, these are pig stem cells. So
these
are pig stem cells.
Okay,
so really,
we use their hearts.
Okay, there we go.
You know,
That's true.
We use their hearts. We should continue to use pigs for really, I think, what would be the most beneficial, maybe, to the human race, which I guess at this point is bacon. Yeah. Well, I think we're safe until a pig and a banana have like a successful first date. I think we're probably safe for now.
For now.
And on to some more of my very favorite things. Let's get into some great winter comfort foods. Some of the ones that we really, really like, and I know that winter in San Diego is stupid to even talk about, but macaroni and cheese. And I'm not talking about the Kraft stuff. I'm talking about the real homemade macaroni and cheese into which you can put, which I know it's a little bit played out, but lobster, bacon, other types of meat, maybe braised pot roast, kind of pulled pork, some real meaty, fabulous, gooey macaroni and cheese with, you know, real interesting noodles. Doesn't always have to be those little elbow macaroni ones. And a really awesome mixture of cheeses like extra sharp cheddar, mozzarella, and Gruyere mixed together. And you can put into this some Greek yogurt. And it makes it more creamy, really. It doesn't have to be a big, locked up, hard to cut with a knife and fork mass of what once was melty cheese, but is now, you know, coagulated, hard cheese, which is just no fun to eat.
No,
and I think that's why people like the macaroni cheese, the Kraft stuff they get from the store.
I think they like that because it's easy and they grew up with it. But yeah, I grew up
with black licorice. That doesn't make it good. But some of the stuff that we like to do with macaroni and cheese, just real quickie, we are not ever going to get to the point in this show where we're putting recipes on our website. I think that's stupid. I think if you Google a recipe, you're going to find 10,000, you know, responses on there, results, and they're all probably going to be okay.
Yeah, and recipes are guidelines anyways. You find out how it works, and you make it better for you. Yeah.
Yeah. You find kind of a good one, one that's easy to understand, that's simple, that isn't going to take 9 hours, and then you do it, and then you just throw in some stuff that you think is going to taste good. And since everyone's palate's different, that's probably a pretty good practice for just about anyone who's the proud owner of a, like a taste bud.
Exactly.
And in terms of a nice, tasty mix of cheese, if you are starting from scratch and you have no clue what to put in there, what you do is you make your noodles, you melt some butter, you put in a little bit of flour because that helps it thicken up, and then you're going to whisk it in some milk, cook it a little bit, and then all you have to do at that point is just throw in your mixture of cheese, which I like to put a mixture of Gruyere, cheddar, and mozzarella. Nice, sharp cheddar. You know the kind that makes your tongue itch?
Yes.
That stuff, it's really, really good. And stir it until it's melted. Turn off the heat, add some Greek yogurt, and toss it with your noodles. Mix it up with a little salt and pepper. At that point, you're just going to finish it under a broiler in a casserole with some breadcrumbs, a little bit of Parmesan, a little black pepper on top. And you're only going to broil it until just the breadcrumbs are golden brown.
Yeah, or you can go the tuna casserole recipe, which my family does, and throw potato chips on top and toss in some fresh veggies. We love doing that. It's cheesy.
Well, that's because your family is vegan.
Yeah, we use cashew cheese also.
How exactly is macaroni and cheese vegan?
Cashew cheese.
Cashew cheese.
Yes. Cashews are like a good substitute cream
base.
Are
they milking the cashews now?
No, we just pulverize them. Their udders are too small. You can't really get your hands on them.
You know, you can milk anything that has nipples, really.
Yeah, but... Yeah, too bad they don't have nipples. But yeah, nutritional yeast or just a lot of onions and garlic to give it that sharp...
See, now, if I was going to take all that trouble and really make a really awesome vegan macaroni and cheese, I would just right at the end... throw on like a big pile of pork.
There's a lot of people who do that.
Maybe the vegan macaroni and cheese is delicious. Maybe it's better than regular non-vegan macaroni. I doubt it.
No. Cheese,
I really seriously doubt that.
Substitutes are never really as good as the real thing when you substitute something.
See, exactly.
You get
and
used to it,
you
but
make
it's not
vegan
as good.
Food all the time.
Yeah.
Half your family is vegan. You are not.
Yes, so I am half of my family. There's my wife and my two kids, and then there's me.
Well, you're slightly bigger than your wife and two kids. You're very tall.
Yes.
You know, and everyone else, if we put them all together, there's half, and then there's you're the bigger half.
I actually agree with that. Pound for pound, I'm the bigger half.
And some of the stuff that we like to put in macaroni and cheese is, like we were talking about, meat, bacon, some really, if you have leftovers.
Perfect for that. I love mushrooms.
Leftover side dishes, leftover meat. From whatever meal mm-hmm. you had a few days ago. So, and that's a great way to use leftover food. You're not going to have a lot of stuff in the fridge that you're going to have to, in a few days, throw away. And it really looks very gourmet.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have a lot of leftover veggies in their crisper drawer that they have no idea what they're going to do with. They buy the veggies, think they're going to be healthy. No idea. Just chop them up.
But they're only healthy if you eat them.
Yeah. You just chop them up and throw them in your mac and cheese. Whatever type of mac and cheese you're making. And yeah. It'll make it taste better.
The only veggie that I really am... dead set against is okra.
The slimy veggie.
I'm not a fan of the okra. There's really no way to make an okra delicious. Maybe they could figure out a way to make okra into a lubricant for the car manufacturing industry or some other industry. Or maybe just
I've had
glue.
Pickle okra, and
maybe,
that's really good.
Maybe you could put it in a dropper bottle and you could really keep your eyes moisturized, you know, during the dry season or when people have hay fever. Maybe that'd be a good thing to kind of shoot up your nose if you have a sinus condition, kind of keep the inside of your sinus cavities lubricated, but it's not a good side dish.
It's just sticky and slimy, really.
Just because it grows on a plant somewhere doesn't mean we should cook it and eat it. That's a good way to get accidentally poisoned, actually. And it's the okra. Okay, the inside of this is all slimy and viscous and clear, and it's ectoplasm. It's alien slime, basically. And let's make that a staple part of our cuisine.
I think it's what a group of Americans used when they had nothing else to use.
Well, that would be fine, but yeah. Isn't there a way to get out the slime?
I think they used it as a thickener for their stews because, what was it? Like, I'm thinking of Louisiana and the gumbo and all that stuff. Like, the shellfish and all that stuff were dirty food, and the people that were kicked out of town that had nothing to eat found these things and finally ate them. And using those scallops, those shrimp, which nobody were touching, those lobsters, because they were just dirty, and with okra made that, and now they're gourmet foods, and now they're wonderful foods. So I think that's, okra tried to jump on the bandwagon and failed.
Lobster was thought of as a poor man's food.
Yeah, yeah, it is, you
and
know,
and now it's probably the most, one of the most expensive.
Yes.
Pound for pound. What did people originally think of a duck liver?
I don't know. People have been eating it since
entrails.
Egyptians.
That's not the most desirable part of the of the duck. No, we want the nice, tasty breast meat. So no, the entrails, get rid of those.
Yeah, the really, really ones full of vitamins.
And who knew that's where the best part was?
Yes.
That they were actually throwing away single time. And of course, people, I am talking about foie gras.
Foie gras.
Little music. We need a little music to go, mwah. Whenever we say foie gras, there should be like an angelic sound. Or something
maybe
like that.
Voice, yeah,
we'll have to prepare that for the next time, because we are going to be talking about foie gras quite a little bit on this show. But aside from the mac and cheese, which is now a gourmet thing, mm-hmm. you know, restaurants
Truffle,
really have
mac and cheese.
They have gourmet mac and cheese in just about every really nice restaurant.
Yes.
And
actually,
it's
I think
always
they have truffle mac and cheese.
Truffle mac and cheese is good.
Truffle might be the new bacon.
You know, some kind of, you can put a bechamel sauce in there is good also. You can throw that in. But yeah, bacon. Okay, that's also. And Marcus is rolling his eyes because he's so sick and tired of the bacon. But they do have the lobster mac and cheese, which I made one time for my little girl's second birthday party, which I know sounds a little weird, but I have weird kids.
There you go.
They inherited the taste buds. And what can I say? It makes them unusual, but it makes me very proud. My little girl was really, really sick, and she had a cold. Aww. And when she woke up in the morning, she said, "Mama, I feel really sick. I need lobster soup." Really? I don't think I've ever been more proud in my life. And then I made the lobster soup. She was too sick to eat it. But
oh, no.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's good. You had some.
Yes.
Yeah. I have Marcus rolling his eyes at me every time I make a new thing. I threw something in there that I probably shouldn't have. But hey, you know, we're cooks. We tend to do that. Another winter comfort food, an ice cream sundae. Now, you can get the cheap 99-cent kind, like a McDonald's, got the nice hot fudge. It hits the spot, really. That cheap white flavor that they have, it's not vanilla flavor.
No, it's
that
potato
they have in
flavor.
Ice cream. It's some kind of flavor. It's not, yeah, I don't even know what flavor it is, but it's white flavor. And it's great. And it's got its place. You know, you don't always want pistachio and caramel flavored ice cream from Häagen-Dazs. You don't always want something expensive, drive out of your way, go through 40, 50 different flavors that you have to pick one from and then figure out what crazy thing you want to put on top. Sometimes you really just want a cheap 99-cent McDonald's ice cream cone. Not even the kind that they dip in the chocolate.
Just the ice cream. The nuts really make it for me. The white flavor with the peanuts on top.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
You know why? Because the white flavor, it has no flavor. So whatever you put on top of it is going to be heightened. Like the peanuts somehow on something that's flavorless like that are better, right? It emphasizes the flavor of whatever you put on it.
They're salty. They're
it actually makes their chocolate sauce taste good, which I don't know if you've noticed. If you ever tried their chocolate sauce, it's horrible.
Yeah, not by itself.
But when you put it on something that's kind of a flavorless foil, it works out nicely, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it does. Well, I enjoy it. So yeah,
see, there you go. You like it. You know, every once in a while, I'm really in the mood for a McDonald's ice cream cone. Why?
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. My taste buds say, go get one. And I am a slave to my taste buds. You can do variations on the ice cream sundae as well. It's not just a scoop of ice cream, a drizzle of chocolate, and then put a cherry on top. We use funky flavors of ice cream. We put things on top. Candied bacon.
Candied bacon. Sugar
is another
and
one.
Bacon.
But you know what? You can put grilled bananas.
Okay, I really love sautéed bananas.
Yeah,
that's
caramelized in the butter. They're sweet. Put a little brown sugar on there. You can even broil those things in the oven. A little harder to clean up, but
a little harder.
Put them on a nonstick pan, and there you go.
And you get them a little blacky. They taste like mushrooms. It's great. You take them.
Put that on your ice cream sundae. It's winter. This is a winter comfort food. Put something warm and caramely and tasty. It doesn't have to be a big mound of butterscotch at all, or nuts, or anything like that. Just grill up some bananas. What about some grilled pineapple?
I'm a big fan of grilled pineapple. I was thinking of boiled sweet potato. Really sweet and thickness. Pulverize it and put it right on top there, then it's really good.
Sweet potato. Very, very tasty. Lots of things that you wouldn't normally think of that are super sweet. Anything you find that's super sweet goes well with something else that's sweet.
Yeah, they play together very well.
I mean, you can even do baked apple. Cover it with ice cream. Throw some pine nuts, a little maple syrup on top. Very tasty. If you have a little baked tahini in there on the inside, tahini with brown sugar, shove that into the apple. Then bake it. You can also put ice cream on a red wine poached pear.
Of course.
Which is fantastic.
Which is a great winter dish. I love poached pears.
Yeah. Just throw some ice cream on that, and there's your sundae. There's your winter food. It's warm and cozy, and you have the nice tasty, warm, caramelized fruit aspect to that. Forget the canned pineapple topping that you get from the store. Don't get a regular maraschino cherry. Those things are made out of bug dye.
Those things last as long as your stomach as gum does, I heard. They don't digest very well.
See?
So if you don't swallow your gum,
it's not a cherry anymore.
Don't eat maraschino cherries.
Yeah, they have the non-maraschino cherries. We recently bought them. They're not quite as vibrantly colored, but they are all natural. You know, they have the all natural dye. They're not made out of bugs, I would assume, at this point. And they're still pretty good. And kids don't really know the difference. So if you don't want something digesting in your kid's stomach for 4.5 weeks, you can get these nice non-maraschinoed maraschino cherries. Put those on top. Put another kind of fruit on top. Put the kind of candies, the candied fruits that you get for fruitcake. The glaçade fruits.
Glaçade fruits, yeah.
And what about chestnuts? What about glaçade chestnuts? The ones that are simmered in sugar syrup for like 2 days?
I don't think I've ever had glaçade chestnuts.
You've never had a glaçade chestnut?
No.
Honestly, you call yourself a foodie.
Glaçade. I'll have to look that up. Yeah.
It is a candied chestnuts and they're French in origin. Oh. And I think it was one of the first candies that they really had, because they're kind of sweet. They're hearty. They hold their shape. You can cook them in syrup and they're preserved and they're sweet and you can put them on just about anything crumbled up. You know, really don't eat them whole. Don't just pull one out of the container. And they're expensive to get and hard to find. Don't just pull one out and shove it in your mouth. They're really, really sweet. But crumble it up and put it on things. Put it on an ice cream sundae. If you put the chestnut onto vanilla ice cream, you really can taste the chestnut. It's a nice, sweet, nutty, not quite normal nut flavor. They're just fantastic. And these are all wonderful things that you can put on plain old ice cream. And then you have an actual, seriously gourmet sundae. And pretty soon, you know, you're not going to have time to hang around in the horrible weather with your family where it gets dark at 5 and you have nothing better to do than to sit around your living room with the people you love and eat foods that are tasty. So do it now. Stop listening to the show. Get in your car. Go to a store. Go to some specialty store. Find the specialty stores in San Diego that have all these great things that we're talking about and get them. Serve them to your family now. When we come back, we are going to be talking about the truth about bottled water and how much raw sewage, really, you're fine with drinking in your bottled water. How much raw sewage are you fine with drinking, Marcus?
None.
Okay, well, then don't take another sip of that thing that you have in front of you until we come back after these messages on Food Fight Radio.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life. One meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineintonight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Mira Mesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiraMesa.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams from which it's born. Spend a little time in their design showroom and production facility in the Fashion Valley Mall. Learn about their risk-free custom work. See why personal service and the highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Mall for jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. Well, I'm your host, Claire Katz. So, you know, I'm a woman, obviously.
Obviously.
Right, obviously. This is a very manly show. And I've always been a bit of a tomboy. I love meat and kung fu movies and aliens and really obnoxious looking cars. You know, the real jerkmobiles. I like those. There's going to be a lot of meat and meat restaurants covered on this show. While we're going to be talking about bottled water, you know, all you manly men out there, don't say, hey, you know what? This is a show where they're going to talk about health and nutrition and why I shouldn't drink bottled water and all the scams and stuff. And they're never going to talk about anything I really care about, which is like a super awesome steak. So after this next segment, we are going to be talking about secrets for the perfect juicy steak. And you'll never have to look anywhere else. Get a pen and paper now. And you can probably maybe not listen to the truth about bottled water because maybe you don't care that there are trace elements of sewage in your bottled water. Maybe you do, you know, this is really a source for normally biased and unfair, yet always correct opinions on today's relevant topics. Because we have opinions.
Yes.
Everyone has opinions. Everyone is biased. We're just a couple of people who really don't mind sharing them with everyone. Marcus has just learned that this clear stuff in my water bottle isn't water, right? It's not Evian, is it, bro?
No.
See, that's why
processed sewage.
That's why I'm always so cheerful in the morning.
Yay.
But bottled water, let me give you an example of how ridiculous the bottled water industry really is. What if I sold you for your home a ventilation system that pumps air into your house? It would come in a very pretty package and the machine would look super awesome and very classy looking delivery men in suits would come by and maintain it. And it's just $5 a day. Would you be interested?
No, I have all the air I want. Already.
You have all the water you want, yet you buy bottled water. You have all the water that you could possibly want coming out of your tap. And unlike water, that comes in bottles, it's actually very heavily regulated by the state. Now, the average American drinks about 30 gallons of bottled water per year, making it the second most consumed commercial beverage in the United States. Soda, unfortunately, is the first. But bottled water is really no more pure than the water that comes out of your tap. And we'll just sum that up in a couple of interesting tidbits. It's probably glorified tap water. 25%, roughly. That means one-fourth. That means one out of every four of bottled water that you'll find in a store comes from the tap.
I knew it. I bought one once. I'm like, this is tap water.
And you can taste it.
You can totally taste
it. You're not stupid.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with you. You can actually taste it. It's tap water. Coca-Cola's Dasani. It's tap water. They put minerals in it to make it taste a little bit better. Pepsi's Aquafina. It's tap water from the city. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going to be drinking tap water, I'm going to get it out of my sink at home in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And just drink that.
We have a little purifier in our sink.
Yeah.
We just do that to get some minerals out and I bottle
my
own water.
Yeah, so you hear that? Coca-Cola, any reps out there from Coca-Cola? You people make Dasani. You people out there from Pepsi, any shareholders in Pepsi? Anyone out there who makes Aquafina? You're selling tap water to people for a lot of money. You should be ashamed of yourself. Also, it doesn't necessarily taste better. You just said that you sometimes get a bottle of water and you just paid like $1.50 for it. You taste it, tastes like tap water. That's a lot of the time. Recently in 2010, researchers asked people to rate the taste of six bottled mineral waters and six types of tap water. And what they found at the end of that study was that overall, the bottled water didn't rate any better than the tap water. That means people were drinking tap water and then tasting water out of a bottle. Of course, it came in a little plastic cup. They didn't know which was which. But yeah, taste-wise, blind study, right? Taste-wise, they tasted the same. Bottled water doesn't taste any better in some cases than tap water. And the reason? It's mineral concentration, not water purity, that enhances the flavor. People typically prefer water with a medium mineralization, which you could describe as tasteless or cooler water. Whether it came from a bottle or the tap made little difference. Also, it's not necessarily pure. Bottled water is not necessarily pure. The Natural Resources Defense Council recently tested 1,000 bottles of water and discovered that about 22% of them, all across the board, all brands, contained chemical contaminants at levels above state health limits. Huh. Above state health limits. We're not talking about what, you know, would be okay or what they'd prefer to see. We're talking about above the limit that they would deem as you shouldn't do that.
And you pay for that.
And you pay for that. You're probably paying for a bottle of something that has more crud in it. Not all the time, but possibly more crud in it than what you get out of your sink or even the sink in the bathroom. I know people think that the water that comes out of the sink in the bathroom tastes different than the water that comes out of the sink in the kitchen.
Is that just because you brushed your teeth and that's when you're tasting it?
I think it's because it's in the bathroom.
Oh.
You think of the bathroom water as something that either gets flushed or washed over you and then discarded down the sewer drain.
Got it.
You don't think of it as something that you're going to drink. Somehow, when you get tap water out of the kitchen, it's in the kitchen. That's where you eat things. That's where you keep your food. So you're going to be fine with drinking it. It's the same water. But, you know, I can taste the difference. That's bathroom tap water. You're not going to fool me. You can't fool your kid.
No.
Your kid knows when you're giving them some bathroom sink tap water. But there's also research showing that when certain plastic bottles are heated at high temperatures, the chemicals from the plastic leach into the container's contents, meaning water. And that is a really good reason not to store cases of water in the garage.
Well, a lot of companies making the bottled water will make the bottle and then cool it off by putting the water inside.
Right.
So that's you're not drinking water. You're drinking plastic tea.
Yeah, it's plastic chemicals. You've got your PBA, you've got your PET, we'll go over that in a sec. And don't let labels like pure and natural fool you. First of all, arsenic is natural. Okay? just about anything in nature that can kill you, it's still natural. You know, all these things, they come out of the ground. That
pure
way.
So plastic.
Natural, I don't know. It's not really a word that does it for me anymore.
Well, it doesn't have a defining meaning anymore, natural.
Well, it just means that it occurs without human anything. You know, it's going to happen whether a human does something or not. It's going to occur naturally, you know. Just like arsenic. You know, not good.
Not good.
Yeah, you know, I put arsenic in a bottle. It's natural. You could label it natural, and some moron would probably buy it.
I want some natural arsenic.
Natural
that
arsenic.
That sounds delicious.
It's always natural. Unlike bottled water, tap water is subject to strict federal, state, and local guidelines, actually making it a safer beverage choice than bottled water most of the time, which is absolutely ridiculous. On top of that, it's bad for the planet. The bottles are bad for our planet. They're made out of a plastic called polyethylene terephthalate. I know. It's called PET. It's difficult to say. Just call it PET.
PET.
Here's your pet bottle. There's two problems with the pet bottles. They take a boatload of crude oil to produce. And researchers estimate that about 17 million barrels of oil are used each year to produce PET water bottles, a major reason why bottled water costs roughly four times as much as gasoline. Number two, we're chucking our water bottles into the trash.
Water costs four times as much
as gasoline.
Gas.
Yeah, and people complain about the cost of gas, but they don't complain about the cost of water bottles.
So if I stop buying bottled water and use it as gas money, I will be way better off.
Yeah. And then you can take the engine out of your car and stick your feet down there, you know, caveman Flintstone style and run your way to work. Yeah. Or, you know, just stop blowing your money on bottled water.
Yeah.
Drink the tap water or get one of those little filter thingies. They have a billion of, and just spend money on gas instead. We're putting 90% of our PET water bottles into landfills. They take 400 to 1,000 years to decompose, which is ridiculous. People think they're doing the planet a favor. And okay, you know what? I'm gonna go cure hunger. Guzzle, guzzle, guzzle out of my plastic water bottle, and then I'm gonna chuck it into a trash can instead of the recycle bin because there's a trash can. I'm too lazy to carry it around with me for a little while and find a recycle bin. Honestly. When we come back, we're going to talk about secrets to cooking the perfect juicy steak when we get back on Food Fight Radio on KCBQ.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Friend Vest International, Inc.